Latitude Media, podcasts at the frontier of climate technology.
The U.S. green hydrogen industry is at a critical juncture. After months of input and debate, the government put out draft rules for tax credits at the end of last year, setting strict requirements for matching new local renewables to hydrogen production. It was hailed by many as a crucial step for ensuring that green hydrogen actually lives up to its name. But across the industry, the reaction has been mixed, even among those who want to make it as clean as possible. So Maeve Alsup, one of our reporters at Latitude Media, started asking around, how are these rules landing?
It's sort of a split in the industry, I think, is what we found as we were talking to different folks. There are people who say we need the strictest guidance and we need it now to ensure that the hydrogen industry that we're building is truly green. And then there are other people who say we need to sort of ease into this. We're doing too much too soon and we're kind of choking off industry growth right as it's getting off the ground.
Rules work like this. If you want to qualify for the 45V tax credit, you need to create green hydrogen using new renewables. They need to be in the same grid region as the electrolyzers, and it needs to be time-matched to when those electrolyzers are running, at first annually and then eventually hourly. The hourly matching is where some developers are facing challenges, and now projects are getting canceled.
I talked to the head of Ambient Fuels, who had a massive project planned at the port of Corpus Christi in Texas. And that was a project that was specifically targeting refineries. And not only is that project on hold, Ambient's take is that hourly matching sort of cuts off refineries as a customer vertical completely for green hydrogen in the U.S. right now, in part because the prices are so much higher with hourly matching, and in part because refineries tend to be located in places where there's not room to add storage or off-grid renewables, which is something that other developers are doing to work around or to work with the hourly matching requirement.
One of the people Maeve talked with was Jason Munster, who led the 45V analysis for the Department of Energy. He's an independent hydrogen consultant now, and surprisingly, he was one of the most critical of the rules.
And he said he expects that a lot of projects that are kind of in the pipeline but haven't reached a final investment decision, which is a lot of projects, that those are not going to go forward and that those developers are going to downsize or they're going to completely kind of reconfigure the project or they're going to cancel them entirely. So he has sort of a dire prediction for the future of U.S. green hydrogen with the guidance as it is. And, you know, something he said that I thought was a really interesting distinction was he said it's important for Treasury and for developers to figure out whether we are trying to build up a hydrogen economy that's just to replace existing uses of hydrogen or whether we're truly trying to build a brand new market, a brand new economy. You know, and he said the Treasury guidance will really determine which of those paths the industry follows.
I'm Stephen Lacey, and this is The Carbon Copy. Well, actually, in place of our regular Carbon Copy episode, we've got something a little different for you. It's a crossover episode with one of our other podcasts called The Latitude. The Latitude features dispatches from the new frontiers of the energy transition, and in each edition, we bring you stories from our journalists and columnists who are reporting at the commercial edge of energy tech, markets, and deals. And in this edition, we've got a doubleheader. Editor Lisa Martine Jenkins is going to present two stories from the pages of Latitude Media, both written by Maeve Alsup, who you just heard from, on how the U.S. green hydrogen industry is responding to new rules. Will strict rules derail the market before it gets started, or will they make it better long term, or both? In the blink of an eye, AI has become one of the largest new sources of power demand in the U.S. So how do we serve the AI boom without building lots of new fossil gas plants? And how can we seize the opportunity to get creative about expanding grid capacity and designing data centers? This is one of the most pressing stories in energy right now. And on May 8th, Latitude Media is holding a virtual event on this topic as part of our Transition AI series. I'm going to be joined by three experts who will offer a range of views on how to address the energy needs of AI computing. And you can sign up for free by going to latitudemedia.com/events or click the link in the show notes. May 8th, Transition AI, AI and power demand. I'll see you there.
Is 45V Guidance Killing Green Hydrogen? By Maeve Alsup. When the Treasury Department released long-awaited proposed guidance for the Clean Hydrogen Production Credit, the industry hoped it would provide the certainty needed to push deals and projects through to fruition. But in the 2 months since, anxiety has crept in. Many are concerned that the 45V guidelines, which essentially determine what hydrogen can be considered clean or green, may have the unintended effect of hampering the domestic green hydrogen market's liftoff. Jason Munster, who led the 45V analysis for DOE's Office of Clean Energy Demonstrations and who now runs a hydrogen consultancy, said that the proposed guidance will mean that very few green hydrogen projects in the works today will be cost competitive. Making a project go forward is going to be a lot more complicated, and we're not going to deploy at scale, Munster told Latitude Media. There are very few pathways to new players, new entrants, and new hydrogen offtakes this way. The vast majority of the green hydrogen project pipeline comprises projects that haven't yet reached a final investment decision, or FID, Munster said. According to data from Bloomberg NEF, only around 9% of low-carbon hydrogen expected to be online by 2030 has an offtake agreement. Of those agreements, only 23% are binding. The 45V guidance as written is going to drive up project cost, Munster added, which means that a lot of projects are going to fall apart, even those in later stages. I would expect that a significant number of projects that have hit FID are no longer going to move forward, he said. They're looking at redesigning their system, downscaling their system, or canceling the project entirely. The Biden administration has big goals for green hydrogen. DOE is pushing to bring down the cost to $1 per kilogram by 2031, and in October announced recipients of $7 billion in infrastructure law funding for clean hydrogen hubs. Plus, the International Energy Agency has called for 550 gigawatts of hydrogen electrolysis capacity by 2030 as part of its roadmap to net zero emissions. However, many in the industry are concerned that the 45V guidelines are essentially too much too soon and will push those goals even further down the road. One key challenge to ensuring deals pencil out has been the proposal of an hourly matching requirement, which states that electrolysis must be powered by renewable energy produced that same hour. Essentially, when variable renewable energy isn't available, electrolyzers would need to power down. Proponents of hourly matching say the requirement would benefit the industry in the long term and will ensure that billions in federal tax credits aren't going to projects that are adding emissions rather than removing them. But that requirement, though not entirely unexpected, comes with a number of complications that developers will need to address. First, there's the technical challenge. Most electrolyzers on the market haven't proven that they can deal with the fluctuations needed for hourly matching, explained BNEF hydrogen analyst Pyle Kaur. And while there are a handful of solutions to that problem, it will mean an increase in project costs, she said, pointing to options like adding battery storage to projects or using more than one electrolyzer. We still have to model out quantitatively how these increases in costs will match up to the tax credit, Kaur added. But she's optimistic that even with the inevitable increase in project costs, many projects will still see a benefit from the credit. Munster, for his part, said that technical challenge will hurt domestic electrolyzer manufacturers and prove a boon for Chinese makers, whose electrolyzers tend to be cheaper, though less efficient. If projects have to account for a significant amount of downtime anyway, downtime caused by lower performing electrolyzers is less of a problem, he added. If regulations are causing you to have unpredictability anyway, why pay the extra money for a Western electrolyzer that's predictable? Munster said. At some point, those foreign electrolyzers are going to cost, installed, half the price that ours do, because we're not moving down the cost curve while they are. Janice Lin, founder and CEO of advisory firm Stratagen and president of the Green Hydrogen Coalition, pointed to another potential issue facing developers in the United States, renewable energy certificate tracking. According to 2023 data from the Center for Resource Solutions, only 3 out of 9 tracking systems currently have the ability to track hourly data. The timeline for other systems to implement hourly tracking ranges from 1 to 5 years, the report found. If we can't track it today, how are we going to start contracting for this today? Lynn asked. If you're going to be required to do hourly matching by 2028 and 6 out of 9 tracking systems can't even do it, I really don't know how you convince your investors that the numbers all work. Munster said the hourly matching requirement would be less of an obstacle if another key element of the guidance, additionality, were more flexible. That requirement means that the electricity for green hydrogen production must come from generation that comes online within 36 months of the hydrogen facility, the goal being to ensure that the electrolysis isn't pulling clean energy away from other, already existing loads. That essentially removes hydro and nuclear power from the running, Munster said. It really comes down to how difficult it is to put together a profile of power that allows you to operate 24/7, he said. There are very few cases in which you can produce hydrogen that's renewable and make it cost-effective for reliable delivery without having 24/7 operations. In the future, once a domestic green hydrogen ecosystem is up and running and connective infrastructure is in place, an additionality requirement makes sense, he said. But we're not there yet. We're not going to be there until 2030 at least, and it's questionable we'll ever get there with the trajectory we're on now. Ultimately, Lynn said that while the Treasury guidance is a great starting point and lays out some necessary requirements, it doesn't take into account the current realities of project development. We're kind of at the beginning with a green hydrogen economy, and we need a glide path to get these projects up and going, to get to a sufficient scale so we can start building needed shared infrastructure, she said. But not all green hydrogen developers are unhappy with the proposed guidelines. Matt McMonagle, CEO and founder of green hydrogen developer Novo Hydrogen, told Latitude Media he's happy with the guidance and had been building flexibility into projects far in advance to avoid any risk. Novo's portfolio is made up of a mix of grid-connected projects and those connected directly to wind and solar power, located largely in the U.S. The company is also a partner in two of DOE's hydrogen hubs. We never assumed that we were going to run 100% of the time, McMonagle explained. Extensive optimization modeling showed that producing best-priced green hydrogen couldn't include paying peak or high-demand energy charges, he added. We are full speed ahead with our projects. For a 20-year project, Novo estimates that the 45V tax credit will reduce the end cost of green hydrogen by $2.50 per kilogram, cutting it roughly in half. All of Novo's planned projects are scoped using polymer electrolyte membrane electrolyzers, or PEM electrolyzers, which McMonagle said are more conducive to the variability of renewables than the alkaline electrolyzers that have been in use for decades. From a technical perspective, PEM is the most flexible, he explained. PEM electrolyzers can be kept on standby at a lower temperature and react more quickly, he added. A plant still has a continual load in the form of auxiliary systems, but it's minor compared to the energy needs of running the plant 24/7, he said. PEM electrolyzers have their challenges as well. They can be expensive to manufacture and use some rare, expensive materials that are subject to price fluctuations. Major players in the hydrogen industry have also voiced support for the guidelines. In a December letter to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, a coalition including Hystor Energy, Air Products, CWP Global, and others urged skepticism against claims that proposed strong guidance will kill the industry. They specifically voiced support for the hourly matching requirement. The signatories have a pipeline of more than 50 gigawatts of electrolyzer projects in the U.S., they said, which is ample volume to achieve electrolyzer cost reductions, spur investment, and ensure cost competitiveness. Of course, electrolysis isn't the only way to make hydrogen. Today, most hydrogen is produced using natural gas. The company Etch, for instance, is producing hydrogen from methane decomposition by stripping carbon from natural gas, leaving hydrogen fuel. That process, said CTO and founder Jonah Erlbacher, doesn't require any water and doesn't create any carbon emissions. With these novel technologies in mind, Erlbacher said the 45V guidance shouldn't pick a technology winner. Instead, he said, it should pick a goal, hydrogen without emissions. The guidelines in their current form allow for newer tech to have a pathway to commercialization, but Erlbacher is concerned that the final guidance may be less conducive. If new technologies are nascent and coming up the pipeline, the rule writer should be very sensitive to that, he said. A solution might exist out there that's still in its early stages, and rules should be structured in a way to foster those. Ultimately, it would be a mistake for the green hydrogen industry to rely too heavily on 45V to fix its problems, said Kaur. Indeed, it still remains unclear when and if enough demand for the fuel will materialize. Offtake is pretty bleak globally in comparison to supply, she said. We need to see more demand-side incentives as well. Kaur pointed to tax credits issued in places like Colorado and Illinois as roadmaps that other states could follow. In fact, she anticipates most of the states involved with the regional hydrogen hubs will follow their lead later this year. There's a lot of focus on 45V, but there are other moving parts as well that could help stimulate this industry, she added. It's also important to consider the country's position in the broader global hydrogen economy, said Lynn. The 45V guidelines are potentially more strict than the parallel guidance in the European Union, which allows for some grandfathering, requires monthly matching through 2029, and doesn't move to hourly matching until 2030. For Munster, the real question for Treasury as it works through the thousands of comments it has received on the guidance is whether the goal is to create a new hydrogen economy or to replace existing hydrogen uses with something cleaner. Are we going to aim to make a hydrogen economy viable to address end uses that electrification alone can't address, he said? Or are we going to play around with the notion of it and wait for China and the EU to get way ahead of us again? The clock is ticking on making that decision, he added. We were the center of gravity for hydrogen, and with 45V as it is, we no longer are. The rest of the world is going to move ahead. Why 45V May Knock One Green Hydrogen Project Off the Map, by Maeve Alsup. Late last year, green hydrogen developer Ambient Fuels was deep in the process of getting a new project on the Gulf of Mexico interconnected and permitted. The project was to become part of the Port of Corpus Christi's massive hydrogen infrastructure, selling to the refineries located there. The property was being engineered, the company was in talks with local partners, and costs were being ironed out. Now, however, the project is on an indefinite pause. And, according to Ambient CEO and founder Jacob Sussman, it's unlikely to ever get off the ground at all if current proposed tax credit guidance comes into effect. Ambient's current situation in Texas suggests that planned green hydrogen projects targeting the refinement sector may be particularly hard hit by 45V guidance requiring hourly matching, meaning electrolysis powered by renewable energy produced the same hour, as opposed to the same year. With green hydrogen out of price reach, many refineries will likely turn to blue hydrogen instead. Sussman said the guidance has made it impossible to offer planned off-takers of the Corpus Christi project low enough prices. The move from annual matching to hourly matching is dramatic enough that it chokes off many of those conversations, he said. A lot of these folks are going to say, to heck with the green stuff. As even the Department of Energy describes it, the current policy environment makes it challenging to convince companies to take up the extra cost to go green. Accordingly, many in the still nascent green hydrogen industry are worried the proposed requirements for projects to qualify for an Inflation Reduction Act tax credit are too strict and will hold back development. Hourly matching is one of their top concerns and is likely to impact certain types of projects more strongly, depending on their geographic location and target offtake customers. Refining and chemical production present a major opportunity for green hydrogen. The combined sectors accounted for around 11% of energy-related carbon emissions in 2021, and refining itself is one of the top markets for hydrogen, making up around 20% of global demand in 2020, per Wood Mackenzie. However, it's a sector that is particularly vulnerable to the challenge of transitioning to green hydrogen, and especially to hourly matching. Most refining companies are looking for a 10 to 25% return on capital projects, and there aren't many incentives for them to make the extra investment for the higher-priced green hydrogen. Plus, refining facilities tend to be concentrated at industrial ports like Corpus Christi, which means they often face land constraints with no space for large battery or clean energy installments. A major debate in the green hydrogen industry, Sussman said, has been whether to site production near sources of green energy or near off-takers. And in the case of the Corpus Christi project in Texas's Nueces County, Ambient went with the latter. We wanted to be the billboard for the next generation of carbon-free hydrogen, right in the middle of all that heavy industry, all that refining, Sussman said. In making that choice, we put ourselves at risk. If you were required to have this hourly matching, it might make more sense to be sitting right next to the solar plant or the wind farm. The Nueces project would sit, in Sussman's words, smack dab in the middle of six refineries currently running on gray or fossil fuel-derived hydrogen. There isn't enough physical space in that particular location to add batteries big enough to allow refineries to run 24/7, nor is there space to build generation. These are razor-thin margin, commoditized global businesses that are not in a position to pay big premiums for decarbonization, Sussman said. I believe in my heart of hearts that they will pay some premium to lower their carbon, but it's not a limitless budget. The world in which they live is hyper-competitive, and we respect that. Sussman declined to share exact prices negotiated with Corpus Christi customers, but said that the premium Ambient was asking them to pay under an annual matching assumption was still meaningful. Sussman estimates the price increase for the Nueces project with hourly matching to be at least 20%. Getting those companies on board in the first place, given the slightly higher cost and the lack of federal offtake incentives, was no small feat. Crucial to those conversations was a narrative of technological pioneership. Ambient led with the fact that early purchasers of even a little bit of green hydrogen will be ahead of the curve, and as equipment and delivery methods get better, they won't have to pay such a large premium and can shift to a larger quantity of green hydrogen. That story was selling, Sussman said, but with the potential for hourly matching, everything gets harder. Power purchase agreements would have to be restructured for hourly matching, and project design and tech choices change. All of those inputs combined, plus the most important one of all, the utilization point, have an outsized impact on the price we have to charge in order to make our project financeable, Sussman said. So if need be, Ambien is ready to cut its losses on this refinement-focused project. A developer who is worth their salt has to be ready to pump the brakes and occasionally step back from a project altogether, he said. We're prepared to do that here if we need to. And that could very well be the result, barring a major change to the finalized 45V guidance. Unfortunately, Sussman said, many refineries, including those which Ambien planned to sell to in Corpus Christi, were weighing their choices between green hydrogen and blue, which is produced using natural gas and is often paired with carbon capture. In light of the 45V guidance, he assumes that many of them will opt for blue. While Sussman said he's wholly on board with eventually requiring hourly matching, he's pushing for the guidelines to allow grandfathering of annual matching for early projects like the one in Corpus Christi. That would be a small number of projects, he said, amounting to a single-digit number of gigawatts nationwide. Without that, he's skeptical refining will develop into the buzzing green hydrogen market many have predicted. It's really scary to me to think that the whole refining industry, which is one of the two largest users of gray hydrogen today and is a prime candidate for switching to green, could go permanently in the direction of blue now, Sussman said. I don't know if we'll ever get them back.
The Latitude is hosted by me, Stephen Lacey, and Lisa Martine Jenkins. If you like what you hear and you want all of our stories from Latitude Media on the go, then subscribe to The Latitude anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you like what you heard and want to read more, go to latitudemedia.com/newsletter and get all our stories in your inbox. You can also follow us on LinkedIn for editorial updates. And we appreciate you listening. I'm Stephen Lacey, and this was The Latitude, dispatches from the new frontiers of the energy transition.